I want to speak this morning on the subject of accentuate the positive. Used to be a song about that, accentuate the positive. Now, for things to go, you've got to have a positive. Is that right?
Amen.
You got to have a positive, but you also got to have a what? A negative. You got to have a negative. Our bus there at the church, it wouldn't crank good. It's a diesel bus, and you'd try to crank it, you'd go, well, I found out the battery needed charging. Amen. And then my mechanic, he said, "Preacher, that negative wire over there is not just right." And that's part of the problem, because you got to have both them wires. Amen.
Right.
You got to have a positive, you got to have a negative. But I want to accentuate the positive. I'd much rather accentuate the positive than stay on the negative. I don't like staying on the negative, you know. Some folks, they look like they were baptized in sour pickle juice. And then it looks like they were baptized during crab apple week. I don't know. I mean, they look pretty bad. You know, I like to accentuate the positive. My buddy Boudreaux, he went down to New Orleans. He got down there and he had trouble, broke down, and he got hungry during that time. So he went up to this fancy restaurant called Dickie Brennan's. He went over to Dickie's and he knocked on that door, you know, to come in there. And the maitre d' said, "Man, look, you can't come in here without no tie on." He said, "Man, I ain't got no tie." He said, "You ain't coming here without something around your neck. You hear me now?" Boudreaux said, "Man, yeah." He went back out to his car. He opened that trunk, you know. He got in there pulling around. He found some of them jumper cable. So he wrapped them jumper cable around him. He went up to that door, and that maitre d' said, "Man, what's wrong with you now?" He said, "You told me I had to have something around my neck. I done got this. These jumper cable around my neck, and I'm ready to eat me some grub." The maitre d' said, "This is highly unlikely, but I'm going to let you in right now. But let me tell you something right now. Don't you try to start nothing." He needs help. He's bad, isn't he? He is. Take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to begin reading at the 17th verse, Ephesians chapter 4, and beginning at verse number 17, This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of the mind, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. There are negatives. Now we're going to accentuate the positive, but I think we need to look at the negative just a little bit here, all right? Because you've got to have both. You've got to have a negative and a positive. In verse 17 of chapter 4 of Ephesians, it says that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Now, he's teaching Gentile people here. And he says, you ought not walk as other Gentiles walk. So we're to have a different walk than the world has.
Amen.
We're to have a different talk than the world has. And we'll see this as we look at this. And it says here that we're not to walk as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind. They walk in the vanity of their mind. The word vanity simply means empty. So Vanity Fair means an empty fair.
Right.
I mean, it's just not much to it. You know, it's emptiness, empty heads, empty, vain. And then in verse 26, it says, "Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath." Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Get over it. Get it straightened out. It's like a black friend down in my area, a friend of his came up to him and said, "Are you married?" He said, "Yeah, I'm muchly married." He said, "Tell me about your wife." He said, well, she's all right. And the other boy said, "Well, what about your wife?" He said, "Oh, she's an angel." He said, "Oh, man, mine ain't dead yet." "Yours might be an angel, mine not." He didn't have his theology real straight, but he knew his wasn't no angel, wasn't an angelic being here. But let not your sin go down, the sun go down in your wrath. I've been married 38 years. That's hard to believe, as young as I am. But been married 38 years, and through those 38 years, there have been times when we've had some real good discussions. and my wife would go and lay down on the couch, and I couldn't stay in that big old bed without her in it. And I'd go in there and I'd plead with her, "Come on, let's get this straightened out." And I made her mad one time. I said, "The Bible says, let not the sun go down on your wrath." She said, "All this happened after the sun went down." And one night she got on one couch and I got on the other one. And I went there and I told her, I said, "Please forgive me because I can't sleep good on this thing and I got to preach tomorrow. If you won't do it for me, do it for the church." She said, "Okay, I forgive you. I need some rest." So we went, you know, but let work at it. Amen.
Right, right.
I mean, get it right.
Right.
Because if you don't, things will turn into bitterness.
Right.
Got to get those things cleared up. And then in verse 28, it says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Work with your hands. I don't mind giving to those that are needy if they're really needy. We had a lady, that family we've been trying to help out a little bit, and we got them some clothes and different things, and y'all know what I'm talking about. And so the lady called one of my members and said, "I know y'all been helping us with some clothes and stuff." She said, "I want to order a turkey for Thanksgiving." And here's what I need to go with it. Well, that's a little far, amen?
Yeah.
But folks will get that way. But as a Christian, let him that stole steal no more. I don't believe in redistribution.
Amen.
I believe in work. If you work, work.
Right.
And then when you get old, if you've put something in there, you might get something out. I don't know. But then you've earned something. But there are those who steal. You know there's a burglar every 14 seconds in this country? Don't get up and leave. Afraid y'all run to the house. But there is. There's a burglar. Every 14 seconds, there's some burglar man getting in. That's a sad thing. And then it says in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good. That'll build up. But no corrupt communication. Now, I love good stories and love reading good things. But you know, if we read the wrong thing, we're going to get the wrong mind. And we get the wrong mind, we'll have the wrong words. Is that right?
That's right, amen.
That'll happen. The hardest thing for me in the military, Brother Joe, was the fact that I was around so much cussing. I couldn't hardly handle it. I had a hard time with all. I grew up with cussing. But then I was saved right before I went into the Air Force. And man, they was cussing and carrying on, and they was cussing me for something I didn't even know I did. I mean, it was bad. They put us in that barracks. Back in the old barracks, we didn't have all this fancy stuff these kids get today, these young men get today. Man, it was tough. And I got the job that nobody wants. Latrine Queen is what they called me. And I mean, that's tough stuff, but I had a testimony. I had to have a testimony. And that first Sunday, the drill sergeant forgot to line up chapel. And that was all right, and again, I guess for me, because I took one of them heavy garbage cans. Now, back then, they were heavy duty. And I got my foot locker and put on top of it, and I said, boys, we're going to have service. And I hadn't been called to preach very long, but boy, I let it rip, and they let it rip. They didn't enjoy it none. But by the end of those weeks, I've got a picture of my flight, and on the back, we had about three of those boys saved. We had others that were encouraged, and they wrote on the back of that. I wouldn't take anything for that. But I had a hard time with that corrupt communication. I mean, it was there. It was hard for me to keep it out of my mind. And then verse number 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Let me take that last part there and remind us that we are saved eternally. We're sealed. We're sealed. I believe in once saved, always saved.
Amen.
I believe in the perseverance of the saints.
Amen.
I will persevere. I will be saved. Eternally, I am saved. Glorification's on its way. Amen?
Amen?
But what about grieve not the Spirit? Well, the word there in the Greek means to make sorrowful. We're not to make the Holy Spirit sorrowful. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Now let's accentuate the positive. Verse number 23, "Be renewed in your mind, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." We went over to Robert Penn Warren's house yesterday. I enjoyed that immensely. That's just a wonderful thing for me because I enjoy his poetry. Now, some of his writing, he uses some language I don't like and that, but his poetry's usually pretty good, you know. And they made a movie, an old movie called All the King's Men, after that book. It's pretty good, but I'm afraid to see the new one because it's got Sean Penn in it. And I have no respect for him. So I've not paid to see a movie since 1972.
Amen.
Not paid to see one. Hadn't been in the movie house.
Amen.
To pay for one. I went and saw a preview of a Christian film. They let me go in free. But the one that I saw was The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, and it was at Tonsonute Air Base in Saigon. It cost me 50 cents. And it was worth every penny of it. Back before they had digital everything, they made that water part and all of that. Those folks really knew how to make those effects. You know, today you get on a computer, I'm sorry, Stephen, but that's what they do, and they can make it work, can't they? They can make it work. Back then, they had to work all that and had to come up with all kinds of effects and everything. But I don't want to, you know, and what I do if I watch an old film, I go and I order it or I see it and get it and I watch it. I like old films. But this new one, I'm afraid to see it because I'm afraid he's going to cuss at me. And I don't want anybody to cuss at me.
Right.
That bothers me. So I want to accentuate the positive is what I want to do. I want to accentuate the positive. Now, notice that preceding verse. In verse 22, it says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Now, I had a former conversation. I had a former way of life. I mean, there was a way that I lived. I grew up on the coast, grew up with all that stuff. But you got to put off the old man. Now, there are those who say, well, we don't believe that there's two natures. We don't believe there's an old man and a new man. What you going to do with this?
Right.
I mean, give me a break. Not a Kit Kat. Well, give me a break. Put off the old, put on the new. Put off concerning the old, the former conversation, the old man. What is he? He is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You got to throw that out. What are these works of the flesh? Well, we go over to Galatians, which is mighty close. Galatians 5 and verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. They're shown for what they are. Which are these? Adultery. That's work of the flesh, the fleshly thing. Fornication. Well, this would seem to mean that there is a difference. There are those who say, well, they're both interchangeable. But there's a difference. There's a difference. Adultery is married people. Fornication is an unmarried person. Now, that unmarried person may hook up with a married person, but the unmarried person commits fornication. Married person is adultery, you see. And that's what we have here in this particular setting and what we see here in verse 19. And then uncleanness. Uncleanness. And it means exactly what it means and says, being unclean, filthy. And it talks about the physical as well as the moral there. I've known people that... They get away from God, they quit taking care of themselves, they quit taking care of their family, they get to the place where they're just letting everything go, especially those that get on this meth. That crystal meth in our area is a big problem here. I mean, it's everywhere. They're stealing the farmer's ammonium nitrate, they're going out there and stealing it, and stealing people's propane gas, and I mean, and beautiful women, I've known some of these gals over the last 15, 20 years in our area, and now their teeth are falling out and they got sores on their... What in the world makes a person do that? See, that's a lust of the flesh, and that causes uncleanness. And then lasciviousness means, which means unbridled.
Right.
Lust. I mean, it's just going full speed ahead. And you know what's going to happen? You go full speed ahead, you're going to hit something. You're going to crash. Unbridled lust. How sad. Verse 20. Envyings. I wish I had that. Look, we're talking about some of them big houses. Those big two-story houses and all that. And I got to thinking about that. Good night, the maintenance. And then who's going to clean it? And you get old, how are you going to get up the stairs? I mean, I'm not against people having nice things. I'm all for it. Man, I like pretty things. I've been to the Biltmore Mansion. You been there? You ought to go. Man alive, the Vanderbilts. Built that big old house and gigantic and beautiful. Oh, my. But I wouldn't want to have even the job of sweeping the floors. You'd get finished, have to start over. You'd never get through with the thing. I don't need that. You know what my professor, Brother Charles Cloyd, at Mid-Continent Bible College said? He said, you can't sleep but in one bed. You can't sit but in one chair. You don't need but one table. He said, sell your shirt and buy a book. I mean, he just said, keep it simple. Keep it simple. That's what you need, and it works. Amen. I got me one of them sleigh beds. It was given to me. And I like it. One night I woke up, I dreamed I was up in Canada. Oh, murders. And boy, we've got murders. I mean, down in New Orleans, man, they have a murder. I listen to WWL Radio 870 on the AM. If you want to hear some things about 10 o'clock at night, turn it on 870. And it's talk, news talk. But they, man, they'll have two or three shot a week and killed. I mean, kill them. Lay them down on the ground. Sad. Murders. That's part of the flesh, isn't it? Drunkenness. I grew up around drunks. Drunkenness. And then revelings. You know what that is? We call it carousing today. Carousal. That's the work of the flesh. And such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You need to put off the old and accentuate the positive. Amen. It's what you do. Now, it is possible for a Christian to neglect their mind. And that's a sad thing, isn't it? Does this church have some members who have not made one service of this revival?
Yes.
You know what they've done? They've neglected their mind.
Amen.
Now, they hadn't lost it. But they've neglected it. Because I get things at church that you don't get anywhere else.
Amen.
You can't get it anywhere else. So when you're in church, you're feeding your mind. When you meet with this local assembly, which is only saying local church is like saying widow woman.
Yeah, right.
Amen?
That's right.
She's a widow, she's a woman. If it's a church, it's local.
That's it.
I mean, that's it. That's it. But you don't need to neglect your mind. And if a person does that, they act like a lost person. They'll begin to neglect their mind. Now, there's only so far they can go. I know that. I believe what it says over in 1 John. I believe there's a place where God says that's enough.
Yeah. Amen.
And there is a sin unto death. I don't know what it is for you. I think it's different for different people. I really do. I could tell you some stories, but then I'd sound like J. Harold Smith. I'm not going to do that. But I've known some things that have happened to folks, and they knew they'd gotten out of God's way and His will, and God took care of that. Now, you can neglect your mind, but you're urged not to do that. Now, you need to have proper input in your mind. That's what you need. Because if not, you're going to go down the wrong road. Let's notice over in 2 Peter 2 and verse number 7 what happened. 2 Peter 2 and verse 7, something happened here to a righteous man. Now, if the Bible did not tell me he was saved, I wouldn't have known it.
That's right.
Is that it?
Yes.
He got in with the wrong crowd. He moved into a place that wasn't a good place. He moved into a bad neighborhood. Amen. Moved into a bad city. First time I went to San Francisco, it scared me. I mean, it's a pretty place. And I really enjoyed the sights, but I saw big old ugly men with beards and stuff holding hands and talking, sweetheart, dear, and all that. Man, and that's back before that was really popular. It ain't right.
Right.
Ain't's not a word, but it ain't right. But it's in my dictionary now because I made it accept it.
Yeah.
Amen. That's like when I type y'all, it accepts it too. But here in 2 Peter 2, 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the world. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. He needed to pack up and move. But he stayed in. What a sad thing. He needed to accentuate the positive. But friends, this situation can be avoided. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And listen to verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformer. Transformed. Your mind changed. You see, that's repentance. Metanoia, meta, change, noia, mind, heart, whatever. There's a change of mind. I see it God's way now.
Amen.
Don't see it my way. Amen? What's metamorphosis? An old caterpillar turns into a butterfly.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
I like that. That's it. That's good. And our minds need renewing every day. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we pray. Our minds need renewing. And then we need to put on the new man. That's accentuating the positive. We go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 24. And that you put on the new man. Now, it's just like putting on the armor that's spoken of in Ephesians 6. We need to put on the new man every day. There needs to be a conscious putting on of who you are and what you are as a child of God. Put on the new man. You put off the old, you put on the new. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I know that some, you know, there is a sense of becoming new, but I'll tell you what, there's a part of me that cannot sin.
That's right.
There's a piece of me that cannot sin. That's the new man. But I got an old man that's strapped to me.
That's it.
And I'm dragging him around. So I put on the new man. I want that new man. You see, the Christian is a paradox. The Christian's a paradox. He has the potential for failure. He has an old nature that never improves as long as he lives. The old nature is as rotten as it's ever been. It doesn't improve. Now, a lost person doesn't have the help of the Holy Spirit, does not have the new man, does not have the wisdom of Scripture, but the Christian has the potential to fall. What did Lot do? He slept with his own daughters. They got him drunk. But I mean, you've got the potential. You need to understand that a lot of this new stuff that's out there today, this seeker-friendly and all that kind of stuff, they don't really think about those things because that's okay. They want everybody to have a good time. But there's the potential for failure, potential for falling. But also we have the Holy Spirit residing in us. That is what makes the difference. He makes the difference, the Holy Spirit, because we have unlimited power at our disposal for victory.
Amen.
I have an arsenal that can't be beat. A couple of my favorite scriptures that I pray over and over again, and yes, I do pray scripture, because it is a reminder to me. And I am telling God, I believe this. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of the flesh. They're not of the old man. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That script, those two scriptures have helped me. Because we need to realize our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. During World War II, some of the most horrendous fighting was on the islands. The Japanese had set up these strongholds on the beaches. They had dug in. They'd gotten in caves and were set up there. And what did our troops have to do to win those islands? They had to take those strongholds. And you never win until you take ground. You've got to retake ground. Some of our strategies have failed in recent wars because we didn't take and keep ground. You've got to take it, you've got to keep it. It's yours, you won it. You shed blood for it. That's what I disagree with our State Department on concerning Israel. They shed blood for that property. Let them have it. It's theirs. Amen. Don't give it back to the heathens that they had to fight to begin with. They're going to have to fight them again. You see? And you and I cannot give ground to the devil. We need to take it Amen. Back and keep it. Amen. That's important for us to see, and we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. I'm a conqueror. Another reason I'm a winner is because I've got a divine nature. I'm a partaker of the divine.
Amen.
2 Peter 1 and verse 4. 2 Peter 1 and verse number 4. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, and I love those promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine natures, the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Escaped it. Amen. Let me ask you something. When you do something you know you shouldn't do, what happens? You feel bad about it, don't you? I mean, you feel bad about that. That's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He's telling you now, that's not right. That's not right. And you go to the Lord, you confess it, you forsake it. Don't be like the fella down on the coast where I grew up. He went to that confessional at the Catholic Church. And he told the priest, he said, listen, I stole half the hay last night, and tonight I'm going back to get the rest, and I want to confess it before I do. Well, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying. I've got power. I have the power of the risen Christ. I have resurrection power to live for the Lord. It's power that is within me. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? I like that, usward. To those of us who are his people. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. First of all, he resurrected us when we were dead in trespasses and sins. I believe the lost person is as dead as a dead body is.
Amen.
He's dead. As they say down home, he graveyard dead. And the power that it took to resurrect Christ is the power it took to get you up from your deadness in trespasses and in sin. And that's the power that we live by. We've got power. Y'all remember the $6 million man? That's a long time back, but you remember? $6 million man. You talk about a $6 million man. Listen, we got power. But ours is spiritual power, amen? Amen. To walk for the Lord and live for the Lord. I have all I need for victorious living. But I got this old man that keeps hanging around. You got it? So I need to put on the new.
Amen.
Put off the old.
Amen.
That's what we have to do. Let me tell you, I want to accentuate the positive. I want to live for the Lord. I want to walk with the Lord. I don't want to be negative. And you'll get negative if you get into the wrong things. All people think they're having a good time, don't they? I remember back when before I was saved, friends of mine would go out and I'd ask them next morning at work. I said, "Did you have a good time last night?" I said, "Yeah, I must have. I don't really remember much about it." I said, "I spent the rest of the night with my head in the toilet." I said, "Man, ain't that living? That's some kind of life, isn't it? That's sad. That's no life," but that's what they think is life. In this country, these kids, and it's a sad thing, they go out to get drunk. I mean, I'm going to get drunk tonight. That's the stupidest thing in the world.
Amen.
And that's part of what this world is throwing at them. But I want to be positive. And I do want to start something. I want to start up the spiritual engine and keep it going, amen? I want to move for the Lord. Let me encourage you to do that. Be a positive person. I don't understand it. Some Christians, they kind of live with the pooch mouth. Get the little lip out. But I want to be positive. I want to live for the Lord. Now, the only reason I can have that positive is because the Lord Jesus Christ took my negative.
Amen.
Amen? He took all the bad. He paid for my sin. Gave me life eternal. It's all of grace. All of grace.